Welcome to this first Sunday of Lent. It is Sunday, March 6th, 2022. This Lenten season, our theme will be Easter's grace. Our scriptures today are Luke 4, 1 through 13, Romans 10, 8b through 13, and Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. The message I've titled, Grace Under Pressure. So please open your Bibles and read with me from Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. Well, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of the God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Well, Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Our second reading is from Romans, chapter 10, starting at 8b through 13. Paul writes, "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And our third scripture is from Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. The Hebrew writer writes, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, a local sheriff was looking for a deputy, and one of the applicants, who was not known to be brightest academically, was called in for an interview. "Okay," began the sheriff, "what is one and one?" "Well, 11 came to reply. Well, the sheriff thought to himself, "That's not what I meant, but he's right." When the sheriff asked, "What's 2 days of the week start with the letter T?" "Well, today and tomorrow," replied the applicant. The sheriff was again surprised over the answer, one that he had never thought of himself. "Now listen carefully. Who killed Abraham Lincoln?" asked the sheriff. The job seeker seemed a little surprised, then thought really hard for a minute and finally admitted, "I don't know." The sheriff replied, "Well, why don't you go home and work on that for a while?" Well, the applicant left and wandered over to his pals, who were waiting to hear the results of his interview. He greeted them with a cheery smile. "The job is mine. The interview went great. First day on the job, and I'm already working on a murder case." Well, In our gospel reading today in Luke 4, it's Jesus' first day on the job. Immediately, he is confronted with three major temptations. And he is confronted with this basic question. Would he accept his Father's grace under pressure? Hence the title of my message today, Grace Under Pressure. Today is Temptation Sunday, and every year on the first Sunday in Lent, we focus our attention on the story of the temptation of Jesus. It's a story that has captured the imagination of Christians for centuries. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree that Jesus experienced a period of temptation, and all three give us similar versions of the incident. In addition, Hebrews 4:14-16 testifies to Jesus' temptation. The author of Hebrews used the temptation episode to show that Jesus, like us, faced threats to his own humanity, and that we should expect the grace we received will also come under the pressure. Mark's much condensed form of the temptation in Mark 1:12-13. The episode begins almost harshly with the Spirit applying pressure and sending Jesus into the desert for 40 days to be tempted and tested by Satan. Kind of reminds me of my first day at school. I have a vivid memory of that. I still remember the pressure put on me by my parents as I walked down the driveway to get on the school bus, that first time feeling scared and alone and not at all wanting to leave what was familiar to me. My father's words were the only comfort and positive assurance that I recalled. He said, "Trust me, you'll be fine." Also the memory of when I spent my first night alone camping in the woods behind our home to earn a merit badge for the Boy Scouts. You know, all those unfamiliar noises. I don't think I ever did get to sleep. But the pressure was on to move from being called a tenderfoot. And as I left for the night in the woods alone, I remember the words of my father again. He said, "Trust me, you'll be fine." Well, later in life, when I was first called to the ministry, before delivering my first few sermons, I would almost invariably toss my cookies due to the pressure I would put on myself, due to insecurity. But I would always hear in my mind the words of my earthly and heavenly fathers, "Trust me, you'll be fine." Well, isn't that what Paul writes in Romans 10:11? Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Well, in all three of those pressure-filled times, my faith in my Father's words would comfort and reassure and get me through, despite my reluctance. And they still do today. Lina, reading of Luke, we need to understand that Luke is seeking to address both the Jewish and the Christian worlds. Luke has already tied Jesus generically to the long history of Israel by carefully reciting his entire lineage in chapter 3, verses 21-38. Well, in our text today, Luke references to Jesus' 40 days of temptation, which surely ring a bell with his Jewish audience. Jesus' 40 days are like Moses' 40 days spent on Mount Sinai, or Elijah's 40-day journey to Mount Horeb, or even the 40-year sojourn of Israel in the wilderness. Well, this experience of Jesus' 40 days in the desert also tie him into the spiritual lineage of Israel's great religious leaders as well. Because we see that as Jesus faces his tempter, he finds his defense in the Hebrew Scriptures, citing Deuteronomy 8:3, 6:13, and 6:16. Well, Luke envisions a more cooperative experience in Mark, as he recorded that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. His rendition of Jesus' experience implies that he more willingly did the will of the Spirit. Well, this in no way lessens the force, fervor, and the pressure of the temptations. The three attempts at the seduction by the devil are extraordinarily powerful and ensnaring. Jesus in his humanity is being tempted and tested as we are. This episode of the temptation of Jesus is given to us as an example to help us learn how to handle grace under pressure. So I'd like to ask you a question today. Who's a good example to you of grace under pressure? I'm talking about someone who can rise to the challenge without panicking or taking shortcuts. How would you rate yourself at handling pressure? We'd all like to think we could pass a sudden test or a challenge of ours, faith, with ease. Well, there's a story told of four high school boys who couldn't resist the temptation to skip the morning classes. Each had been smitten with a bad case of spring fever. Well, after lunch, they showed up at school and reported to the teacher that their car had a flat tire. Much to their relief, she smiled and said, "Well, you missed a quiz this morning, so take your seats and get out a pencil and paper." And still smiling, she waited as they settled down and got ready for her questions. Then she said, "First question, which tire was flat?" "Well, that sure looks like grace under pressure to me." How many parents have watched anxiously as their child has gone off for the first day of a new school? I mean, so much depends on first impressions. Will your child fit in with the right group, students, or fall in with a bad crowd? Well, the same choices confronted Jesus as he left his familiar, protected life as a simple carpenter's son and embarked on his new role as Messiah. What kind of a person would he take on during this first real test? Well, the devil hits literally at the gut level with his first temptation. Not surprisingly, Jesus' truly human nature experienced hunger after his 40-day fast. But Jesus was not actually starving. I mean, this was a self-imposed hunger, willingly endured for religious purposes. Long fasts have always been a popular means of bringing oneself closer to God. The devil's taunt was not to a man whose suffering was the result of a famine or poverty or cruelty. Eating at this point was not a matter of life and death for Jesus. It was more like the temptation of that of an unguarded cookie represented to a struggling dieter. Well, the issue is not survival. The issue is willpower and sense of purpose. The devil is advocating and if it feels good, do it philosophy that celebrates petty indulgence. But Jesus isn't biting. He responds by saying, "It's written, man does not live by bread alone." Then Luke tells us how the devil alters time in order to take Jesus on an instantaneous tour of the world's riches in verse 5. In his humanity, Jesus might have been thinking, could it be that this being who so easily manipulated matter and time is indeed worthy of the worship he seeks? Well, Jesus faces the dual temptation of personal power and denying God in the second trial. Unlike the first and the last temptations of Luke, the devil does not ask Jesus to perform an activity in order to flaunt his identity. Here the devil offers a seductive gift to Jesus, but only if he will give up his identity and acknowledge the devil's superiority. We see this in our world today, the temptation of political power. It must have been enticing to one who possessed such a clear sense of righteousness and justice as Jesus did. How compassionately and judiciously Jesus would have wielded the unlimited worldly authority the devil dangled in front of him. Jesus might momentarily have had the nearsighted vision for a better world and escaping the cross as compared to God's all-encompassing plan for salvation of all. But the devil shot himself in the foot when he demanded that the price of this authority was to deny God and worship him. I want you to notice that Jesus' scriptural response had nothing to do with the power he had been offered. It deals only with the much too high price the devil seeks to extract. It is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Well, Jesus' final confrontation with the devil, it takes place on the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem. The devil dares Jesus to deny his humanity with its accompanying mortality and to allow his divine nature full reign. Well, if Jesus descended from the top of the temple as a swooping Superman, the devil envisions, surely all Jerusalem would have worshipped and adored him. You know, it's the same city that Jesus would later mourn for and long to gather into his arms. It would have suddenly been his. Of course, the whole point of Easter's grace, the incarnation, would have been lost. If Jesus had not responded to the devil saying, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." But Jesus, he knew how to handle grace under pressure. So again, I'd like to ask you a question today. Who is your example of grace under pressure? Is it Jesus? Can you respond as he did when tempted and tested? Remembering that it is written, man does not live on bread alone. And remembering too that to worship the Lord your God and serve him only, and do not put the Lord your God to the test. As Paul reminds us, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Is that the word of the faith that you are proclaiming when your grace is under pressure? If it is, heed the advice of my Father. Trust me, you'll be fine. For anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Amen. Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.